Hey, what you looking at?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, who doesn't like that sort of thing? That's what I
want. Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I don't know what I'm laughing at. I have no idea. I don't even know. What are you looking at? Hey. What are you looking at? Why are you staring at me like that? Is there something? Oh, yeah, there it is. Thank you. I always get that stuck on my face. What was on my face? Was it like a little crumb? A gigantic steak? Oh, my God. I got to wipe more frequently. My mouth. Come on, cut it out. Hey, welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. This is just a taste of what it's not going to be like. Welcome to the program. I do this every single weekday except for Thanksgiving and Christmas because you know how religious I am. You don't want to mess with those holidays. It's just you don't even listen to things on holidays, so why even bother? Why should I even stick my tongue out at you? Why should I even lift a finger? Why should I even like blow a gasket for you? There's no point. Only if you're listening. If you're not listening, forget it. Hey, welcome to the program again. How you doing? I got up very early this morning because I have mild high blood pressure and mild high cholesterol. What does that mean? It means I have high blood pressure and I have cholesterol, but I'm on medication for it, so now it's kind of normal. So I call it mild just to piss people off. My doctor thinks I have every single disease known to man rolled up in one, and I don't. It's a female doctor, and I think she's just being really bitchy. I have no idea what her deal is, but it's just horrible. It's just horrible. Ron, you got to cut out the sugar. Why? Well, your blood sugar is a little high. Is it like really high? No, it's borderline. Oh, okay. Now, borderline. Everything's borderline. Everything I have is borderline. I have it, but it's borderline. Do you realize when you have high blood pressure or borderline high blood pressure, my readings are, if I don't take medication, my readings would be like 140 over maybe 95 or something. With my blood pressure medication, my readings are like 110 over like 72 or something like that. So it's like under control, right? Yeah, right. So, but she puts in my chart, she puts in my records that I have heart disease. My God, what a horrible phrase that is. If you look at my chart, I shouldn't even be breathing. I mean, come on, man. I've got everything. I've got little tinges of everything. Ron, you're obese. What? Yeah, you're like 10, maybe 15 pounds overweight. Yeah, but I'm 6'3", man. Yeah, but you're like 10 pounds overweight. And you stand there and you call me obese? How about if I call you fat and I call you obese? I mean, that's not nice. You don't call people obese. You don't do that. You don't walk down the street and go, hey, you're obese. You don't do things like that. Why are you doing it to me? Why are you making me feel bad about myself? Every once in a while, I get a little pain in my shoulder. Oh, you have arthritis. No, I don't. I don't have arthritis. Every once in a while, it could be like from working out in the gym that I don't go to. It could be sleeping wrong. I am 6'3". I have a lot of body to move around. Now you're saying I have arthritis. I don't have arthritis. It doesn't hurt all the time. It hurts rarely. Yeah, well, then you have the beginnings of arthritis. It's like they're arguing with me that I do have diseases, and we're in an argument now. It's just an awful thing. Ron, you should keep away from sugar. Well, I kind of don't like sugar anyway. Why? What's your point? You have borderline, like, high blood sugar, which is borderline diabetes. Don't say diabetes to me. Do I have diabetes or not? Well, yeah, kind of. You're on borderline. Stop with your borderline. What's with your borderline? That's where Trump wants to build walls. Don't do that. Although it'll have the most beautiful door ever. I've got everything, apparently. Every once in a while, I'll sneeze, you know, here and there. Maybe they're a little hay fever, you know, on a windy day. Or, Ron, you have allergies. I don't have allergies. I don't have allergies. If I had allergies, I'd be taking allergy medication, and I'd be sneezing all over the place and on you. I'm diagnosing you as allergy. Stop diagnosing me with everything. Cut it out and stop calling me obese, you fat pig doctor. My doctor's extremely skinny and in wonderful condition. I'm going to have to find a fat doctor so that I can call them whatever they call me. I can call. It's like they're calling me names. It's like I'm in a schoolyard. And you're obese. You have heart disease. I mean, I don't stop it. Just stop it. I don't have those things. Well, Ron, you're a candidate not to live so long. Well, thank you very much. Anything nice you want to say to me? Anything like, have a wonderful day, except maybe you'd rather go the route like, have a wonderful day, hope you enjoy them because you're going to die soon. I mean, come on, I'm feeling fine. Anyway, so I went to the doctor about 2 weeks ago for my, what they call, it's a follow-up. It's a follow-up. I'm like stalking my own medical history here. I go for a follow-up every 6 months just to follow things up. You know, like, how are you today? Fine. Come back in 6 months and give me another $300. Well, I want to follow up with you, see if you're still fine. How's everything? And all I do at the follow-up, they take my blood pressure, which they do to everybody when they show up. It's like, you know, it's like complimentary. And then I just sit there and they ask me questions. Have you been taking your meds? Are you feeling all right? Have you been exercising? Do you smoke? I told you 1,000 times I don't smoke. I'm going to keep asking you until you do. That's the deal here. It's like interrogation. I'll be waterboarding you pretty soon. And how's your diet? Are you eating healthy? Are you having fish twice a week? Are you taking your fish oil pills? Are you taking a bath? Are you brushing your teeth? Are you cleaning your ears? Do you stop asking me questions? Those are personal questions. Stop asking me. It's doctor my ass. Well, doesn't make any sense, but yeah, doctor my ass would be my proctologist, which I don't have. I don't have one, by the way. My regular doctor puts on latex gloves and sticks her finger up my butt and. She's my proctologist right now. Basically, anybody with a latex rubber glove can be my proctologist. And I have to pay them for it. You know, they should be paying me for the privilege of sticking their finger up my butt because I think that's like a privilege. They should be paying me $300. Although I know some guys that would pay other people $300 for the same thing just to get them. But anyway, that's not the point. So I was supposed to have a blood test, and the doctor said to me 2 weeks ago, can we draw some blood from you? And you can draw whatever you want on a piece of paper, but you're not taking any blood out of my arm because your little nurses here apparently are like lousy vampires because they never find my vein. So no. And also, I didn't fast. Why you want me to take a blood test for my cholesterol when I haven't even fasted? And the doctor goes, okay. Like I've made a mistake or something. So I said, I'll come back, you know, and I'll fast, and then I'll take the blood test. So 2 weeks later, I showed up, and that was this morning at 7 a.m. The blood lab where I insist on a professional phlebotomist to remove my blood. That's the way Ron works. You know, I want professional people doing my work. I'm not going to have any kind of surgery by a guy that works behind the counter at 7-Eleven. And God bless him, he can probably perform surgery. I really don't know. But I'd rather have a surgeon do it. So that's the kind of thing with a phlebotomist. I respect phlebotomists for two reasons. One, because they learn how to draw blood. And secondly, I can't even spell the damn word, and they probably can. So they're like on top of it, you know what I'm saying? Just from the spelling aspect, they're on top of this thing. So I go in there this morning, and the first thing I do is I encounter this woman behind a glass door. Apparently, they must be shielded from the patients completely behind glass doors. And when you show up, they'll slide the glass door open and talk to you and then shut it again. Like, oh my God, these are zombies or something. And she asked me my name and my birth date. And I said, I gave her the answer pretty much. And then she gives me a plastic cup and she says, do you feel like urinating? And I said, all the time, basically all the time. And thanks for asking. That's a great opening line. It's an icebreaker. It's an icebreaker what it is. I go up to strange people all the time and I say, hey, how you doing? My name is Ron. Do you feel like urinating? And man, it starts conversations that you wouldn't think would start, but it does. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll urinate in a cup. I'm easy. I'll answer any of your questions. I'll urinate in any one of your cups. I have no problem with that. I'm a transparent person. Let's just see how the pee goes. So I take the cup and I go into the bathroom and I pee in it quite easily. As a matter of fact, there comes a point where you're reaching the top of the cup, which isn't all that small, and then you say to yourself, oh crap, how do I make the transition from the cup into the toilet? So you physically take your muscles in your body and you cramp them up and the pee stops, and then you sit on the toilet and then it doesn't come out right away. And you say, oh my God, did I just ruin my entire pee system? And by the way, the technical term is pee system. Did I just screw the whole thing up and like blow some of the valves down there? What did I do wrong? I should have been a plumber and I can't figure this out. So I give the lady my pee cup and I make a little joke, which I don't know if she's heard it before or she didn't find it funny, but this woman didn't laugh. And I gave her the pee cup and I smiled at her and I said to her what I thought was funny, which was drink slowly and drink responsibly. And she didn't laugh at that. And I thought, well, maybe it's not that funny. And maybe they've heard it before. But then I thought, what kind of patient would say something like that to her? I must be the only one. And then this woman comes through the door and she says, Ron. And I said, phlebotomist? Floby? Flobby? What do you call yourself for short? Phlebotomist? And she says, come with me. And I said, well, a little late for that, but okay. And we walk into this room. And I sit down in this strange chair. It looks like a school chair with a little bit of an arm thing to it, you know, the kind of thing you have in junior high school. And she asked me to verify who I am. She says, are you Ron? I said, yes. She says, what's your date of birth? I said, you know, a lot of you people here like are really hung up on birthdays here. I'm not into birthdays. When I reached like 20 years old, I didn't really want to do birthdays anymore because it's just a sign of getting older. And I'm not into birthdays. So you apparently are all birthday around here. And she said, look, what's your birth date? And I told her my birth date. And she said, oh, okay. And then I asked her for a butterfly. And I didn't do it in the sense of starting a botanical garden. It's a small little needle because I don't trust these people to find my veins. My veins aren't like obvious, you know. You have to pretty much get a search party out and have them comb the entire arm before they find a good vein. Well, this lady was a professional phlebotomist. She found the vein immediately and she stuck me and it didn't feel a damn thing. And I said to her, you're really good. And she said, thank you. And then I thought, you know, maybe we've got something here. Maybe we've got some kind of connection that could be lifelong, you know? I thought, would it be interesting to date a phlebotomist? No, it's the contortionist that would be interesting. And I had it mixed up, so, but now I'm good. I still have my Band-Aid little thing on the inside of my arm, where my elbow is on the inside. And I'm going to wear it all day because it's my badge of courage. Because, damn it, they didn't give me a lollipop. Not that I'm supposed to have sugar, you know that. But they didn't give me a lollipop. They didn't give me any candy or anything like that. So I'm just going to wear this freaking badge on my arm all day. Like it's a wound or something, you know. Like, Ron, what happened to your arm? Oh, I was in battle. It was nasty. They came after me with a butterfly needle, and I didn't know what to do. And they grabbed my arm, and I was a goner at that point. And I saw blood. It was horrible. It was terrible, but I survived. And I'm wearing this bandage for the rest of my life as a badge of courage because I went through this horrible experience.
One man, one microphone, 1 hour, so many random thoughts. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
So today on the program, we're going to continue our Thanksgiving tribute to those people that lost their lives in the Thanksgiving massacre. I have no idea what that is. I guess there were some rebel turkeys that really didn't want to be eaten, and it was a bloodbath. Anyway, we're going to speak to chefs and food preparation people and all those kinds of things. Going to be awesome. Awesome. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to cook in the kitchen. It's another thing to cook in the kitchen. It's another thing to to be safe in the kitchen. There's so many hazards in the kitchen. When you stop and think about it, this is where you keep your knives. And if they're, you know, nowhere around the house, do you keep, like, knives all over the place? It's kind of like a weird thing. And then you got these large pans, and if someone gets hit over the head with a pan, you can knock them out, you know? There's a lot of dangerous things going on there. And then those cabinet doors, man, if you don't close the cabinet doors that are like eye level, you can put your eye out or give yourself a nasty little conk in the forehead. Apparently I love the word conk today for some reason. It's a dangerous place, and it's also where you have fire, you know? You have, if you have gas, then you actually have fire coming out of your stove. If you have electric, then you're heating up the elements, and things can catch fire. So it's a dangerous place, the kitchen. We shouldn't take it for granted. And I'm going to say the word conk again, even though I have no reason to say it, but I love that word today, conk. So Alejandra Schrader joins us now. Interesting name. Alejandro is definitely a very Latin kind of, south of here kind of name. And then Schrader is like a German Jew kind of thing. I don't know what's going on with that name. She probably married someone named Schrader from the Peanuts cartoon, I guess. Anyway, enough talking about you. Alejandro joins us now to talk about safety in the kitchen. And it's very, very important, because if you're not safe in the kitchen, where can you be safe? The bathroom? No, no. Did you ever go to somebody's house and they have a medicine cabinet? There aren't a lot of medicine cabinets anymore. People tend to put their pills and their salves and things like that and their ointments in drawers now. But there was a time in our history when I was growing up when the mirror in front of the sink actually opened up, and inside people kept all their ointments and things, you know, for their pimples and their horrible skin diseases and their, pills and things like that. And I was so tempted always to open up their medicine cabinet, look inside. And I won't tell you whether I did or not, because it's kind of embarrassing, the fact that I actually did that. And I didn't do anything. What are you going to do? You know, what are you, What are you going to do? You're going to walk out of the bathroom and say to the host of the party, excuse me, do you have herpes? You can't do that. You can't ask questions like that. You can simply put your coat on and leave, make up an excuse, which is believable because I always make an excuse to leave anyway, even though if I don't look in the medicine cabinet. You know me, if I go to a party or a gathering, after 10 minutes, I'm spent. I have nothing else to say. I had nothing to say when I walked in, to be honest with you. I just make small talk with people at a party. I stand in the corner and I eat all their food. And then I make small talk. They start the small talk with me. I don't start the small talk. I hate the small talk. But they start it. It's cold outside, isn't it, Ron? No, I didn't notice, to be honest with you. I did go outside in order to come to this location, but I'm so oblivious, I have no idea how cold it was. Just didn't pay attention, I guess. But if you say it's cold, fine. And then they ask you, is it cold enough for you? Well, no, it's never cold enough for me, certainly not. I have to be pretty much frozen in a casket. That would be cold enough for me, I would guess. But yeah, and in the summer, you can ask me if it's hot enough for me, and I will always... I will say, yeah, it is hot enough for me, you know. And then they say, hey, how's everything, you know? And how you been? How you doing? You feeling good? You feeling fine? And I feel like saying, you know, just shut up. Just shut up. Do you have something that you want to ask me or something you want to talk about, you know, like something of some kind of substance? Like, oh, well, let me ask you a question. Do you have a skin disease or something that we can talk about? You know, we can compare different diseases because I have borderline high blood pressure and I'm on medication for it. What medications are you on? What do you take? Tell me something worse than what I am so I can feel good about myself because that's pretty much the reason for conversation, isn't it? It's not to hear your opinions. It's to hear my opinions out loud and how much I don't like your opinions no matter what your opinions are. That's all conversation really is. I say something, you say something. I say something, you say something. I say something, you say something. I don't listen to what you're saying. You don't listen to what I'm saying. I say something else. You say something else. I put my coat on and I leave. And that's the art of conversation. It's pretty simple. All right, Alejandro Schrader. She's a chef, and let's talk to her about kitchen safety because this is just going nowhere otherwise. Alejandra?
Hi, Ron. This is Alejandra Schrader here. How are you?
Alejandra, I'm fine. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. I'm so excited to share with you guys about my collaboration with State Farm so I can share tips so that we can keep our kitchens safe and happy these holidays.
Yeah, we don't talk about this kind of thing very much. We talk about preparing food and wonderful parties and having a good time, but we don't talk much about things that can go wrong and the safety thereof in the kitchen.
Absolutely, and during the holidays, accidents duplicate, so we have to be extra careful so that we keep the kitchen safe for everyone in the family, from the little ones to the older ones.
Yeah, I'll tell you what scares me, honestly, are fryers and even frying pans. But when you take a whole turkey or a chicken and you attempt to fry the whole thing, that just sounds like an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, and you know, as long as we keep the safety measures, it's all good. Yeah. We always have to keep these tips in mind. For instance, if you're going to fry, you have to heat up your oil gradually. You can't just like crank it up on high and heat it up really fast because there's greater chances of fire.
Uh-huh.
Number two, when we immerse, whether it's turkey or if you're frying chicken, if you're frying a smaller dish, you have to do it slowly so that we avoid splashes, right?
Yes.
And then lastly, always to keep a lid. The safest way to end a fire on a cooking oil is to just lid the safest way as you can, a lid on top of that pot.
Yeah, I said that when I go out to a restaurant, if I want fried foods, which isn't really greatly healthy for you, but I know they're going to be able to do it with industrial equipment in a industrial kitchen much better than I can do it in
my home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But if we use some of those at home, for instance, if we use a thermometer so that we regulate the temperature of the oil and we know that we're not frying above 375 degrees, for instance, which is a great temperature for frying like chicken and so forth. So as long as we keep these tips in mind, we are keeping that kitchen safe.
Okay. What else in the kitchen should we be mindful of?
Well, we always have to make sure that we don't have anything that can actually take fire, like mittens or towels or any utensils made out of wood. We have to keep those outside of the stovetop. And always create a kids-free zone where it's about 3 feet in front of the stove, uh-huh. where children don't have the opportunity to reach out and get burned, yes. whether it's in the stovetop or, you know, with splashing oils coming out.
Yes. Okay, that's a great idea. What about fire extinguishers and things like that? We used to talk about that years ago. I haven't heard much talk about fire extinguishers in the kitchen or anything like
well,
that.
Well, everyone should, every family should have a fire extinguisher at home. That's the safety rule.
Okay, so get one if you don't have. Is there a certain type?
Exactly.
Is there a certain type of extinguisher we should be using, or check that out with your hardware?
I think you
store?
Need. Yeah, you can definitely get more information if you go to statefarm.com's Learning
Good.
Center.
Good. Okay. Now, a lot of us, besides getting burned, get cut, and I assume that hospitals around the holidays might have a lot of people going in there because of cuts and burns.
Absolutely, and I would say, if there's any accidents related to cuts, it's probably because it's a lot of people in the kitchen,
yeah.
there's chaos, the family, people are having too much fun, and people are not paying attention to what they're doing. So that's another great tip. A lot of accidents happen because we're not paying attention,
yeah.
Because we leave items unattended, because we leave the kitchen, and we should never do that. We should always be in the kitchen. As far as knives, you know, just learning the right techniques help, but also paying attention to what you're doing is the best way to stay safe.
Okay. And a little bit off the subject, but we're dealing with poultry over the Thanksgiving holidays, and that's
mm-hmm.
like raw poultry.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I don't know
mm-hmm.
if that's as significant as chicken. I assume it is, but do you have
yeah.
any tips
yeah.
on that?
Well, when it comes to poultry, chicken, turkey, uh-huh. We need to avoid cross-contamination, right? So if mm-hmm. we're going to use a knife to cut chicken or turkey or any other poultry, we cannot cut any other items with
okay.
that. And then always keep it within the safe temperatures, right? We don't want to leave chicken out of the refrigerator for more than, you know, 30, 45 minutes at the most,
yeah.
Because you don't want the temperature to rise and,
okay.
and have allowance for bacteria.
You know, a lot of people remove their smoke detectors from the kitchen area because they think it's going to go off all the time, and I don't know how protected that floor of the house really is if people are going to start maneuvering their fire, their smoke detectors.
Oh, absolutely. If you tamper your smoke detectors, you're immediately diminishing your chances of preventing a fire at home. And,
yeah.
and you know.
Actually, how prevalent are kitchen fires?
In the holidays, they say that they double up. Kitchen fires are very common in family kitchens, and it's usually because of what we're talking about, right? Like not
yeah.
paying attention and not taking the right measures.
Now, I have a gas stove, and sometimes I'll turn it on, and that little clicky igniting thing, the gas won't come on right away. I mean,
okay.
are there dangers involved with leaking too much gas in the kitchen and not having it properly burning?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that there are ways to measure levels of gas in the air, and that uh-huh. there are actually detectors and alarms for so. But in your case, it looks like it's a maintenance issue. Sometimes grease gets into the burners,
yeah.
and it prevents from gas to come out properly.
So I need to clean my stove.
Yes, that's right. We just need to clean it up, because you know what? Grease also catches up on fire. So if we keep
yeah.
a clean stovetop, we're also preventing a fire, or, you know, it's the best way.
Okay. If there's a grease fire in the kitchen, is it best to snub it out, or is it best to pour water on it?
Not pour water on
no.
it.
No, okay.
That is never the right
okay.
answer. That would actually make things worse.
All right, because in forest fires they seem to do it. They don't take big towels.
Well, they know the right techniques, exactly. At home, you know, and they say that if you don't know what to do
mm-hmm.
or if what you're doing doesn't work, really the safest thing to do is to get out of the house and bring the family out of the house and call the firefighters.
Yes, always safety first. If in question, don't fool with it. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of it. The idea is just
yeah.
to think smart when you're in the kitchen, right?
Absolutely, and still have fun and
yeah.
still have the family involved. And enjoy the holidays, but the safe way.
Wonderful. How do we get more information?
Well, do you go to statefarm.com? They have a learning center, and all the information will be available there.
Wonderful. She's Alondra Schrader, and man, can she cook, but she wants you to stay healthy and alive so that you can cook. So, thanks for your time. Have a great holiday.
Oh, thank you so much, and to you as well. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
No, I don't. That's not true.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Welcome back to the program. My name is... Oh, crap. I can't remember. It's Ron Van Dam. I did remember. I was only kidding. Well, thank you, Alejandro, for... Alejandro. Those names with the spit in them are very, very dangerous. You know, you get the... Like, Ahmed. And Alejandro and Jorge. I mean, you keep talking to people like that and saying their names, you're going to have to like chuck a loogie somewhere. You're going to have to spit on the ground. You don't even have to be playing baseball. You're just going to, that thing's got to go somewhere. You can't swallow that stuff. Certain names just conjure up and spit. That's pretty much what's happening here. I mean, if you're going to, you're going to have to do something with that stuff. And then it becomes embarrassing because you don't want to insult these people, but your name pretty much caused me to spit. You are producing phlegm for me is what you're doing. Change your name to Bob or something and we don't have any phlegm to talk about. But as long as you're going to be Alejandro, we're going to have to start wetting down the area, if you know what I'm saying. Change your name. That's what I'm saying. Change your name. Isn't it interesting that we don't get to choose our own names? Wouldn't that be wonderful if you're born number 27? That's what are you going to call your kid? Number 27 for now. And then my kid's going to choose his or her own name. You know, you keep the number thing because we have social security numbers anyway. So why not just call you by your last four digits, you know what I'm saying? Just what's the last four digits of your social, Ron? 7277. That's what I'm going to call you. I mean, why not? You know the number. I know the number. I don't know the rest of your digits, so you're pretty much secure, but let's just call you that. And then when you're old enough, say like 10 years old, choose your own name. Wouldn't that be great? I feel like a Peter. No, I feel like a Paul. No, actually, I feel like a Mary. I don't know what I feel. I'm going to stick with Paul. I'm going to be Paul. And then you actually register your name as Paul, and you'd be so happy the rest of your life because I chose my name. All of us have names. Every single one of us have names that we did not choose. We could be named after a grandfather or even our father. We could be Bob the Second, which is more like how you name a boat, I think, but no, whatever. We have no choice. We are stuck. And a lot of us like our names. Most of us don't, especially the formal part of our names. We don't like that. We like the nicknames sometimes, but not the formal names. Nobody likes their name, really. If you talk to anybody about their name, most of them, most people will say, I don't like my name. I don't like my name. It's true, because we didn't choose it. Think about, it's the holidays. Think about how you're gathering. Your immediate family, of course, you know, that's fine. There's a great amount of love because you live with each other for so long. But like, when you're talking about cousins and aunts, is it aunt or aunt? I don't even know. I guess if the person's sophisticated, you call them an aunt. But if they're just little jackasses, then it's my aunt. That's my aunt. uncles, aunts, cousins, you totally didn't choose them, and you hate them, mostly. Some of them you just love, but these are the same people. If you met them on the street, you'd set up a relationship with them anyway because they seem to be nice people. But cousins and aunts and uncles are like people you meet on the street. They just really are. There's nothing to them, but yet you have to be nice to them because they're quote-unquote blood. We've got to stop this blood thing. We really do. Enough with the blood. Just because you're somehow related to somebody else in my family doesn't mean that I have to even look at your dumb puss or put up with your crap 24/7 or be sympathetic to you or feel like I'm close to you, because I don't, because you're a total stranger to me. You were introduced to me by somebody that we both know, but you are not significant to me in the least. Get out of my face. Stop contacting me. Stop sending me letters about what your little family is doing. And Joey went down to the store today and I asked him to come back with a pound of sugar. And guess what? He comes back with a pound of flour. Joey, you are so crazy. What? What are you talking about? I don't care about that. But it's your cousin. That's your cousin. No, that's an asshole. That I don't care about your story. Your story's probably adorable to you. To me, it's of absolutely no consequence whatsoever. Simply because you have some kind of title in front of your name, I'm now supposed to be so connected to you that I care about your flour and sugar story? I don't. I don't care about it. I don't. Because now I have Facebook, and I cannot care about everybody that I don't know. Speaking of people I don't know, I do speak to Stephanie Oswald. We speak to her about once every 4 months. She's called the Travel Girl, and she's the editor of Travel Girl Magazine. And she gives us travel tips, and people are traveling for the holidays, and sometimes you want to get away. So we always check in with my good friend Stephanie Oswald. She's cool. She's nice. Good morning, Stephanie.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you again. Stephanie Oswald is the Travel Girl. We've spoken to her so many times before, and she is our answer to rescuing us from our everyday lives so we can go away and get our heads together. And how's that for an intro? Pretty good, huh? Is that all right?
I like it. I like it a lot.
So it's
and it's true, Ron, with Thanksgiving right around the corner, this is a perfect time to talk about giving yourself an escape.
Yeah, it is, because, even after the holidays, you're going to need one, believe me. So what is there to do around this time of year? It's kind of a hectic time of year, but at the same time, we want to do something.
Yes and no, and I want to talk about traditions near and far, defining a white Christmas, and then gifts you can give yourself this season.
Okay.
So, when it comes to unique traditions, because that can be great whether you're doing a staycation or a faraway vacation, and I know right there in Boston, here we go, once Thanksgiving hits, there's so much happening with the holidays, and a tree lighting can be something to really get the family in the mood, or just it can be something romantic, or, for example, you guys have the Boston Common tree lighting. It's December 3rd. Mm-hmm. That's just a great way to just kind of kick off the season and put you in the right mindset for the holidays.
Okay. And of course, New York is a great destination, I would assume.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you guys, that Christmas tree lighting is Wednesday, December 2nd. So you could actually do the New York lighting on Wednesday and then the Boston Common on Thursday. But, you know, that might get a little hectic. But yeah, it's, again, finding those unique traditions and the fact that if you want to, you know, not go too far away, you can just drive to another big city or, you know, there's so many garden displays and light shows and free festivals that happen this time of year. It's a really wonderful time to get out there. And then also, you know, in Boston, you guys, snow. I don't think there's anything on the ground right now, right? But a lot of times you want to try something completely different. So I want to, you know, throw it out there. White Christmas doesn't have to be about white snow. It can also be about white sand. So this could be the time to take a beach vacation. And, you know, you say it's a hectic time, but I'll tell you what, in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, Ron, is an excellent time to travel because the crowds are smaller. And again, part of it is people are, you know, in between those two holidays, it's kind of a mini shoulder season. Huh. So you can get some great deals. And if you wanted to go down to the beach, say like to the Myrtle Beach area, all kinds of things happening. They've got a big free event on December 13th with a tree lighting and like a carnival. It's a great time to go down there. And I think the beach is a great place to go for coming up with some New Year's resolutions.
Sure. They could do a beach lighting. I don't know if they do that, but they
could. Exactly.
Okay. Now, give me some tips about traveling this time of year. What should I have together so that it makes it easy for me?
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the best gifts you can give yourself is the gift of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. So a couple things you can do there. You want to travel light. Ship your gifts and borrow gear. I like to remind people, you know, just because if you're going from hot to cold, especially if you're going to go do some kind of special sport like skiing or snowboarding, if you can, borrow the gear, borrow the heavy clothing, or even if it's you're traveling somewhere with kids and you need, you know, special strollers, anything you can borrow at your destination is a great option. Also, think about shopping at thrift shops once you get there, because sometimes a quick trip to the thrift shop can save you having to spend an extra, you know, $35 or $25 to pack an extra bag or to pay for checking a luggage at the airport. So definitely an option there. Something else you want to give yourself, peace of mind. Travel insurance is an easy way to do that, and especially during the winter. You know, when you're dealing with holiday chaos, winter storms and other things can cause delays and cancellations that you don't plan for. So taking advantage of travel insurance, AIG Travel is my go-to for that. They've got travel guard insurance, and it's only about 5% of the cost of a trip. So something to consider. And also, they have concierge services, which are available. And that's something, especially during the holidays, whenever we're dealing with the chaos of the holidays, whatever you can do to make that a little bit smoother can be a big help.
Wow, those are some great tips. The insurance is like, I think everybody should have it because it is a questionable time of year to travel. And I learned there's cancellation insurance and there's trip insurance. There's all kinds, so do check them out. Was it AIG?
Yes, and travelguard.com is their website, and they've got a whole, they really make it simple for you to figure out exactly what's going to work for you. Because it's just like whenever you're planning travel, every trip's going to be different, and your needs are going to be different. So going online and working it out. Also, if you have any concerns, talk to a travel agent because they can help you answer a lot of questions and also come up with some destinations if you are thinking about it and you're just kind of like, where should I go and where are some good deals?
Yeah, do you start out with a destination that you want to go to? Do you start out with, here's my budget, here's what I can spend, let's see what I can get for this?
Well, something that I also recommend this time of year, you know, it is the new year, and when we do our bucket lists for travel, why not, when you're doing your resolution, also your list of resolutions, do your list of New Year's travel destination resolutions as well, a bucket list, and get the family together. You know, that's the kind of thing, too. You go to see the tree lighting, and you're driving home in the car. Well, what are we going to do next year. And maybe you come up with a dream list, and maybe you come up with a secondary list. And also, taking advantage of, again, some of these local things. We all, it's that old saying, you don't look at what's in your own backyard, but keeping in mind that, you know, just letting everyone in the family be involved in travel decision making, it makes everyone more vested in the actual trip, and then therefore you get a lot more out of it.
Now, Stephanie is the editor in chief of Travel Girl magazine, and there you will find everything that you need in order to successfully have these trips, such as getting your passports in order. Do you need a passport? What to pack? How to pack? What to bring along? Where to put it? Very important information. Makes it easier, makes a difference between enjoying the vacation and scrambling through it. How do we get more information here?
Well, you can check out our website, travelgirlinc.com. And I'm going to also tweet out some more tips at Travel Girl Steph is my travel handle. If you want to check out that insurance information, travelguard.com. If you want to head down to the beach, visit MyrtleBeach.com. There's, as I said, so many deals happening right now. And always go to the Convention and Visitors Bureau website for your destinations, because that's where you're going to find out what's happening that's free, what's happening while you're there. It just helps you plan ahead. And also you can get great deals by doing that. So definitely make that a priority when you're heading out. And don't be afraid to travel during the holidays. I know people get so stressed out about it, but really... if you can be a smart traveler, that escape can really give you the right mindset to start the new year.
Well, that's why they call it a travel girl. Stephanie Oswald, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, Ron. Take care.
Take care.
Happy travels.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, that's enough. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. As much as I love you, I have other things to do, and so do you. Join me again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. I certainly do. I really do. Did you learn everything you wanted to learn about the kitchen and cooking for Thanksgiving?
It was unbelievably painful.
Whatever.